You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
Packers Therapy.
Packers Therapy. It's Chris and Dave. Chris in the frozen tundra of central Wisconsin, just a mere 90 miles to the west of Lambeau Field. Dave, underneath, shivering the stainless steel arch in St. Louis, actually in a posh shishi suburb, which because town and country, what the hell kind of name is that?
I mean, yeah, come on. That sounds pretentious, doesn't it? We're not going to give ourselves a name. Town and country.
You know, it kind of sounds like one of those cars from the 60s, the kind with the wood paneling. Yes, I'm driving a town and country.
Yeah. Well, isn't there a town? I think one of the Dodge the minivan is a town and country,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, maybe that's it. So there's Dave working out of his van down by the Mississippi River in St. Louis. Dave working his town and country.
The ironic part is if you drove a minivan into town and country, we would not accept you if it's not a luxury automobile.
I visited town and country. It's a very comfortable, leafy, you might say. It's very nice. It's very nice.
Lots of deer, squirrels.
Yeah, deers are a menace there. I mean, yeah. I think it was a good idea when you started trapping them and shooting them with your bow and arrow. I think that was a good idea.
Yeah, it's fun. And it also saves lives.
It's fun and it saves lives, except for the deer, of course.
Yeah. Well, they're forfeit. They should not be multiplying as much as they are. And it is a problem when you drive around here. They will jump in front of your car. I do not understand. The squirrels, you know, that's fun, too, to just squish them. But the deer is a problem. So that is, you live in town and country, you've got pros and cons for sure.
Well, not as many cons as you have in other places. It's a lot more pros in town and country. Hey, you know who else is a pro, Dave? Jason Allen Wick. This guy's a pro. He is a pro. He's the guy who stepped up, did our original theme music, and then revised it a few years after that. The theme music that we have on Packers Therapy is a product of Jason Allen Wick. And we haven't heard from Jason in a while. I thought, well, maybe Jason, he's got his own business now. He's no longer out at Skywalker Ranch. He moved on from there and started up his own business doing music for commercials and documentaries and stuff like that, I guess. And I thought, maybe he just found other podcasts. Maybe he didn't love us anymore. But no, Dave. Jason Allen Wick loves us. And he went to PayPal and he saw what Chief did last week. And he said, no, he's not going to be the only guy to be generous that way. I'm going to do the same thing, damn it, because I'm a musician and I make a shit ton of money. I suppose it's all hookers and blow for musicians like Jason Allen Wick. Anyway, Jason, thank you for that very nice gift that you made via PayPal. And B, just so damn glad to hear from you regardless. Thank you so much for that. So, and also for the music too. We are really grateful for that. I think there was a football game this past week, and we probably ought to talk about that. Although the way things go around here, we probably wouldn't even have to talk about the game. We could fill an hour and a half just with
we probably could. Well, there are a lot of podcasts out there that will actually go into the game. So we could talk more about town and country and PayPal asks. It really doesn't matter at this point, right?
We haven't even started with Plover yet. I mean, my God, just wait. Yeah, yeah.
You go talk on about and green on and leafy. About
Plover. Yeah. So I do want to mention some things about this game and also the game coming up, which, quite frankly, has me nervous. And there's a certain expression that Dr. Klaus would appreciate that I'm feeling about this Tampa Bay game coming up. But I want to ask you first off about the Rams game. Was there any point during that game where you felt sand encroaching in a certain area of your body that made you uncomfortable? Were you uncomfortable at any point during that Rams game? Did you think, Packers led wire to wire? Did you think we got this and it's all good?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that was my question to you. Is I was going to phrase it. Did you think this was a close game or not a close game? Because I feel like there's been a number of games where the final score is a pretty decent margin. They were, you know, ahead most of the game and really had control of the game most of the time. But there was a point in the third or fourth quarter where it was like a one score game. I feel like Lions was there and there might have been a few others. I was nervous from the very beginning. I was on the edge of my seat and I was trying to think. I said to my wife, I think this is as nervous as I've been in years. And I thought, I don't think that's probably true. That's a really recent bias probably for me. But I was really anxious about, even though I still believe they're going to win by double digits, I thought they were going to do well in this game. You know, a lot of the press leading up to this game was all about the Rams defense.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing, too. I don't know if it's my perspective where it was the Rams side. They say, man, I'm so tired about hearing about Aaron Rodgers. Mm. So I don't know if that's just, you know, where you're coming from. But to answer your question, I felt this was a close game. And I guess it wasn't feel that way at the time, but there was a point in this game when the Packers were up by 7 and the ball is on the ground in what? They were on their 30-yard line. Rodgers picks it up, you know, is able to run for a yard, and then we score a touchdown and the game is essentially over. But I guess until Lazard caught that touchdown, I was on the edge of my seat, kind of worried sick about the game. And I don't know. And it really felt as the end of the half happened, I felt we were dominating. We're up 16-3. Now it's 16-10 because Rams moved down the field and score. I felt like, you know, we really dominated the whole first half and we're up less than a touchdown. So I the Packers never made me feel very confident that we were had that stretched lead where we could kind of relax a little bit. And so to me, it was a very close game and a very anxious game, but a great game. I really enjoyed watching it. It was a fun game to watch. And obviously when they win, that happens, but I would call it a close one. And I was anxious. How about you?
Yeah, it was a lot closer, I think, than the final indicates. I mean, it looks, you know, hey, one by two touchdowns. Hey, it's all good. But I felt very much the same as you did. In fact, I have come to understand that, you know, when I am uncomfortable in a game, it gets quiet. And I realized the quietness kind of in the mid to late third quarter. And I was genuinely concerned when, you know, Los Angeles got rhythm. You know, there's no song and dance numbers, thankfully. But yeah. they did, in fact, get rhythm. And they were completing these short passes. They were moving down the field pretty well. And I thought, oh, boy. They're moving now at a time when the Packers are going through their, you know, second half sleepies, you know, where they are just not able to, you know, get the offense going. I think they had scored. Did they score in 5 straight possessions? I think at one point. And then
they did. Field goal, touchdown, touchdown, field goal, touchdown, and then 2 punts.
Yeah.
And that's the malaise, right? That it's
exactly.
Like back-to-back punts. It feels like they've been doing horrible forever. Well, There were years where it was like punt and field goal and punt and touch. Like there's a lot more punts involved in previous years, but two punts in a row, it's like a disaster this year.
It just felt wrong. And I guess because it happened at the same time that LA seemed to be getting traction and the Packers weren't. And I was thinking, yep, this is it. They're going to piss this away at home in the second half of a game where Aaron Donald is limited. I mean, significantly limited. The guy was on the sidelines a lot. They didn't have their best receiver. I thought, great. You know, everything is lined up in the Packers' favor, and they're going to blow this thing. And you're right. At the moment that, you know, that Lazard, of course, had dropped the one pass that should have been a touchdown.
Then the game, I think, would have played out more like the score indicated if Lazard catches that touchdown. Go ahead.
But then he redeems himself and makes a really good catch. I mean, that he was kind of it's a good thing the guy is 6'5", he's got long arms, because, you know, that ball was overthrown a bit, and he made a great play, and he kept his balance, and he got in the end zone, 58-yard touchdown. That was absolutely huge, and it made me feel that, okay, we got this now. You know,
yeah.
That sort of stemmed the tide, that particular play. And I, at that point, I could relax and I began to believe again. But I was seriously doubting up to that point.
Well, I even heard Wayne Larrivee called that touchdown the dagger, which I guess there was 3 minutes left in the game, roughly, up by 2 touchdowns. Usually what they call the dagger when it is really out of reach. You know, it's first down, now we're kneeling it. to end out the game. But I heard that he called it the dagger there.
But here's the question, though. Given how the Packer defense has been playing, maybe that was the dagger. And maybe I didn't say it was a dagger, but maybe it was, because I have renewed confidence in the Packer defense. I don't think they're a great, you know, unit by any means, or this isn't, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 1970s or anything here, but they're a lot better than they have been just 6 weeks ago. And I thought when they got up by two touchdowns, the way the defense has been playing over the last, you know, month or 6 weeks, I thought, yeah, they got this now. And maybe Wayne was feeling the same way.
But weren't you frustrated with the way they were playing defense? I still come back to the same ideas. I like individually this defense. And I even tweeted out, I felt like it was a good time to apologize to Rashawn Gary, because he's becoming a player that I'm now watching him rush the quarterback, kind of like I would watch Clay Matthews and Reggie White. Zadarius, you know, certainly is. I think one of Zadarius's sacks, I like didn't sort of see it develop because I'm watching Gary, but a couple of third downs, I'm watching him, and he's putting pressure on the quarterback. He's pushing his guy, you know, into the quarterback's lap, and he's doing it on a pretty consistent basis. But you look at the Smith brothers and Gary and Alexander, certainly. I mean, one of the two times I screamed out loud was when Lazard caught the touchdown, and then when Alexander tackled, you know, kind of a wide receiver screen that he, you know, he blows up like he normally does. I love that. And they have these guys. I like Amos. I like Savage. Barnes went down, but, you know, I think he's a good player. There's a lot of guys I really like, but, man, I felt like they were playing soft defense, especially when the Rams went down and scored before halftime. It's like, this is a team I think you can afford to press, because Goff is not going to be super accurate down the field with a hurt thumb, I didn't think. So playing kind of this zone and letting guys kind of get into the empty areas within the zone. And I never really understand why with a zone defense, if a guy comes into your area, you don't cover him. I mean, it's almost like I'm going to spread myself out and he's there and he's there. All right, we're all good. Like, well, no, make him stop catching the ball, get in front of him. Like when he comes in your area, like maybe I just don't understand the defense, but man to man is like, I want that the defensive line to, you know, get after the quarterback, you know, maybe blitz a few times and then cover your guys one-on-one and hope that the quarterback only has 2 or 3 seconds to get the ball up, because, and you can cover for that amount of time. I feel like we have the defense to do that, but we didn't run that defense.
It's what's really hard for me is, you know, I'm a relic of a different age, and, you know, you played defense aggressively to take it away. You didn't play a rope-a-dope kind of defense. And I think I used that term before to describe not just the Packers, but now that I'm watching all these playoff games and toward the end of the year, watching a lot more red zone. I see a lot of teams. This is a way a lot of teams play. They keep everything in front of them. I mean, that's the idea here. We're not going to give up anything over our heads. We're going to make the offense earn everything. Of course, the offense can say, well, we're going to take what they give us, you know, and so it's kind of a symbiotic relationship, Dave. The defense is willing to give it to them and the offense is willing to take it. But the theory being, as long as we keep everything in front of us, we make them earn it, they're going to make a mistake, they're going to have a fumble, they're going to make a penalty, they're going to be, somebody's going to drop a pass, and, you know, we're going to stop and we're holding to a field goal, because increasingly field goals just don't mean squat in the NFL. You really got to score touchdowns. So I don't like that style of defense, because I was acculturated to a time when defense was more aggressive. It was about taking the ball away. It was about intimidating guys, about knocking the snot out of them. It was, you know, those kinds of values that I grew up with. And even, you know, playing other sports, you know, basketball, you know, you denied the pass, you challenged the dribble, you know, you got in the way of the guy, you took the charge, all that stuff in basketball. That it's just the way I'm accustomed to how a defense plays. That's not how the Packers play. They, if they get a chance to intercept, you know, they'll make a big hit when they can, but it's really about containment. You know, it's the 1950s communism thing, right? We're going to contain communism. We're not going to, you know, make sure it doesn't spread. And I think that's kind of what, you know, John Foster Dulles, who's running the Packers defense apparently, is trying to contain the enemy and not allow them to proliferate and have a domino theory of touchdowns. I think they're trying to play a game that is contemporary, and you hear the analysts say, that's the way you do this. You just make sure that they don't get over your head and you keep everything in front of you. I don't like it, but they held the Rams to 18 points.
Well,
and I guess they're holding teams at home to under 20 points a game. So I don't like it, but maybe I should.
Well, I mean, it's 18, it's 15, it's 16, it's maybe 20 until you play, a good offense, and then all of a sudden it's 35 and you're done. So I feel like sure, the results do bear out that I guess it's working, but I don't know if it's their best defense. It's kind of like, when the McCarthy offense of a couple of years ago, they might have scored points, but it was like the offense is not clicking like it is now. And I feel like, a different style would take this defense another level, where I want a defense where you're making the quarterback guess. It's not, we basically know that they're going to rush four guys and the rest are out in coverage. Like, I'd like it. I was watching Buffalo and Baltimore play, and Buffalo brings a lot of heat on the quarterback. And I was really surprised, and it was fun to watch, because Lamar Jackson is the kind of guy that I think you would want to keep in front of you. Like, if you blitz him and he gets away, he's going to run for 30 yards.
Yeah. Exactly.
And a couple of times he did, but I think they feel like, look, it's worth it to give up a couple of long plays and let him run and scramble for 20 plus yards, because there'll be a couple where he gets flustered and he'll fumble the ball or, throw an interception. Like, we want to force the issue. And you know what? It's okay, because our offense will bail us out if we make a big mistake and they score. I think the Packers defense, especially, when they're up 16-3, the Rams have the ball. Why we're not putting enormous amount of pressure on Goff. I just think this idea of keeping in front of you, I mean, these offenses are built now to have sustained, 10 plus play drives. And the offense is really good at throwing short stuff and getting guys to run after the catch. And like, that's how the offenses are built. So it's kind of like you said, the offense is adapted to this defense. And I think they'll just score and score and score. You bring up basketball, I think the equivalent would be, like, when you play defense on basketball, just stay between your man and the basket. Like, if he drives, don't try and stop him. Just make sure he gets, well, guess what? He's just backed you in and he just made a layup. And like, if you keep doing that, you're just going to score and score and score. Like, at some point you've got to force the issue. And I felt like the defense really didn't do that. Other than, if there's good coverage and Gary and the Smiths, get pressure on the quarterback, they get four or five sacks, and that's great. And that's created a few punts and kept the score to 18, but I don't think this is their best defense that they could play.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not sure if it's Pettine doesn't have confidence in his personnel to play more aggressively, or if it's just a philosophical thing on his part. I know what we're going to see though next week. We're going to see a defense that is very aggressive, and they got to punch you in the mouth. And then once you're bleeding, they got to punch you again. So it's going to be a real contrast. I mean, I was watching that Tampa Bay defense. We're recording this on ML King Day on Monday morning. I was watching that game last night. It was an eye opener. Tampa Bay looked like the same team that handled Green Bay decisively earlier in the season down in Tampa. And this cat they have, this Devon White? Number 45. It's easy to see him because he's in every single freaking play.
Moves fast. Oh. Yeah, hits hard.
And he moves fast and hits hard. And you know what? There's like three guys there right after him too. I mean, they are just all over the place. They got great players top to bottom. They look to me a bit much better than the Los Angeles defense. And of course they were limited. I mean, their guy was injured. So maybe that wasn't the best of the Rams defense, but Tampa Bay looks like the real deal on defense. And they got plenty of weapons on offense too. When we talk about this later, Packers, I think, going to be significantly, even though they came out as 3.5 point favorites, I think they're going to be really challenged by this team. Because it's a matter of character, and I don't mean in terms of dignity and integrity, that kind of character. I'm talking about the wiring of the team, and this might go to why the Packers play the way they do. I think the Packers are playing with more with more angry now than they used to. And I think a lot of that is, I think, is Chris Barnes is a lot of that. The guy busts up his thumb. Yeah, just wrap it up and put a club on me. I'll go back out there and play down. I'm only going to miss five plays. And he did. And I think Rashawn Gary is a big part of that. And I also think that Kenny Clark, I think those guys have really brought, and Za'Darius Smith, of course, have brought a better attitude. And Alexander is another.
Alexander player. Certainly. Yeah, he's got an attitude for sure.
Yeah, but the Packers have got more of that now. But they don't have it. Every single member of the Tampa Bay defense seems to have a tood, and they bring it, and they bring it hard. And so they can play that way. I don't know if Pettine doesn't think they have enough of those guys to play that way. Whatever it is, they have some, but I don't think Pettine thinks they have enough to play that style of football, that he would kind of rope-a-dope those guys. But I know what you're saying, Dave. I think they might have a critical mass of players where they could play more aggressive. I think LaFleur wants them to play more aggressive than they are. But, you know, he also likes results, and they're getting pretty good results the last 6 weeks. So it's going to be really interesting to see what Packer defense, you know, comes, if they can still play. Brady doesn't look like he's lost a lot to me. I mean, he looked much better than he did earlier in the season. And I think you'd expect that playing, you know, more within the system and getting used to the guys that he has now. Gronk looks bigger, if anything. I mean, the guy's just a freaking monster. He's probably, you know, maybe he's lost a little bit in terms of his speed, but he still looks like he can play. They got a, you know, couple of nice running backs. Their offensive line looks solid. They got some nice receivers and Evans. I think this is going to be a real challenge for the Packers. Will they play more aggressively against that offense? I doubt it, just because they haven't to this point. But I wonder if they do wind up losing that game, if that is something that LaFleur might want to do. Is nothing personal, Mike Pettine, but I want to play a different brand of defense. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out should they lose this game.
Yeah, I agree. And I wonder if who's driving this. If Pettine's like, listen, I know what I'm doing. Look at the results. You know, let me keep at it. Although he did adjust, you know, for Tennessee. It wasn't the same. And I thought he was a little bit more aggressive later in the season. But this looked like it was a return back to this is what frustrates me. I think if a team has a quarterback that's limited, my approach wouldn't be to like, well, you know, good for us. Now we can kind of play, keep it in front of you football. I would think, go after them now. You know, let's force the issue. Let's really drive this team into the ground. But that's no longer here. I think Brady, something's going to have to give here, because if you are going to rush for and put everyone else in zone coverage, I feel like Brady can pick that apart all day long. And he is the master of 10 to 15 yard drives. That's all New England did. Is just dink and dunk down the field to running backs and tight ends until, you know, something would open up deep. So if that's the way the Packers are going to approach it, then we're going to see this score and hopefully score and score and score. And that's where I'm afraid on the other side of the ball. What I really like about the Packers offense is that it's not just that their running game is great. It's not that just that their passing game is great. It's like they found a good rhythm, that their passing game is so great that you have to defend it so they can run. And what the Packers are doing now are running first and making that so great that then they, when they catch you on the passing, you're off guard and can't control it. So it's, they are really good at both. But can Tampa, and I remember in the last game, you know, Aaron Jones is trying to get that pitch and go wide, and then Devin White is like, bam, hitting him a yard, and there's no bouncing off of him. Oh. Like it was like he got hit and went down. And now the Rams defense is certainly very good. And I could tell they were good. I mean, this wasn't like Aaron Donald's hurt and they're a hollow shell of themselves. I thought this was a good defense. I just thought that the Packers could really be effective at running, and then that opened up everything else. And so can the Packers do that against Tampa? Can they, you know, really feed you a lot of Williams and Jones? And I don't know the status of Dylan, but, you know, you're getting a lot of this. And then play action, jump off sides, you know, that's kind of the Packer thing. And we just, you know, we're scoring a lot. I don't know. I'm nervous about this game. I think this is the matchup I didn't really want to see. It's hard to know, you know, did Tampa look that much better because the Saints weren't that good? I mean, was Breeze really, flabby Breeze, arm out there? And
Breeze did look like, there's talk now of his retirement, and he looked like a guy who maybe, has reached the end of the line, and they did not throw the ball downfield much. And, the guy did have, 11 broken ribs? Is that what he said on the broadcast? And a punctured lung? I mean, that's going to leave a mark, so that's probably a part of it. They still have some pretty good players on offense, but their trigger guy isn't what he was, 3 years ago even. So it's hard to know exactly, was it because the New Orleans offense was a little bit deficient, or the Tampa Bay defense? I've only watched two full games of them this year. Once we played the Packers and then the playoff game last night. They look like the same team to me both times. I'm surprised they lost as many games as they did. I understand White was hurt for a while, and maybe that was part of the problem. But they didn't look like a team to me that was going to lose as many games. I mean, that they lost to New Orleans twice during the year, that just didn't make sense to me. Why? How could they possibly lose when they really – I thought they dominated that game start to finish. I know it was tied going into the fourth quarter, but that's a game that didn't feel like it should have been that close at all, because I thought that they dominated. But you look at the way the game played out, and it was all the turnovers that they got on defense. That's why they ended up winning that thing. That makes me a little bit concerned, because it was the turnovers that sunk Green Bay. You remember the two interceptions from Rodgers. And that's when you have an aggressive team like that, that's the kind of thing that happens. They force you into mistakes. I think that's a big reason why the Packers don't have as many turnovers on defense this year, because they don't play that attacking style. They play a lot more containment style. So it's going to be a contrast. I don't expect the Packers to change the way they play for this way coming up, but I think we're going to see on the other side of the ball a defense that, kind of dictates the terms a lot more than the Packer defense does.
Well, it'll be so important. The first drive, as we hand off to Jones, is he getting, 3+ yards, or is he getting 1 to 2? And if it's consistently 1 or 2, then we're going to get a lot of second and third and longs. And then that's where we fall into that trap where, you can't run everything. You've got to throw things downfield, and Rodgers wants to see a guy open. There was a play against the Rams where I felt I don't know if he threw out of bounds or took a sack, but it was like he was rounding to the right. Kenyon or someone was, by the marker on the sideline with a defender behind him. And I felt like you could throw that low, but the guy is close, but he didn't throw it. And that's where we get into this. He holds the ball too long, and now that's why we lost to Tampa Bay. But if Aaron Jones is getting and Williams is breaking tackles and getting us 3, 4, 5 yards a carry, then I think we'll score. But I just don't know what the defense is going to do. Are they? I mean, I think they're becoming a pretty proud group. Would they blitz Brady? Would they? I just don't. Are they going to rely on Alexander to take one guy out and leave him on the island and double cover, Gronk? Can you do that? So I don't know. I mean, this is a game where it's been weeks and weeks and weeks where I felt like, I don't know how it's going to exactly play out, but I think the Packers are going to win. This one, it's things like turnovers are going to be important. Like, can there be a tip ball or a fumble? Can you knock the ball out of Brady's hands? And can you get some of that Lambeau luck? Now, I guess that is a big difference is, be playing in Lambeau, I think does give some advantage to the Packers. If you're a hard hitting linebacker, it may not make a whole lot of difference, but on offense, maybe not for Brady, but it's the receivers and just the crowd. I think that you're going to get an emotional lift by being at Lambeau.
I think they did this past week. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see the look on Rodgers' face before there was that snap? I guess it was the play right before he threw to Lazard. Showed that they had the camera on him just perfectly. I remember thinking, I wonder if they're going to ask him what was going through your mind. Was it this play is going to work?
Oh, they actually did ask him that.
And, I know.
And he said he laughed because he knew this was going to be a touchdown. I thought that was absolutely. Yeah.
I thought it was they were cheering MVP, but maybe at that point of the game it was too tight that it wasn't.
He also said he heard those chants and he talked about how he really liked it and it meant a lot to him, even having just 8,500 people there. But when he got the play call, and were they going to go back to Lazard? That's why he smiled, because you know he said he was thinking touchdown. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. I wondered. I wondered if he was like, you know, I'm a quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. I have lots of money. I've got a movie star. I was circling through his head, like, I'm Aaron Rodgers. This is awesome. Hey, and he just smiled.
Is he seeing that woman from Big Little Lies now? What's her name? She played the Big Little. You watch Big Little Lies?
I did.
Right?
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the younger brunette woman. Yeah. And I'm so far behind on these things. I just heard from my wife this weekend that he was apparently seeing her. So yeah.
Okay.
It's like, you know, of course I looked up right away. She's like 8 years younger than him. Well done, Aaron. Nice job, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I'll make you smile before a snap. Yeah.
Oh boy. It'll bring a smile to your face and elsewhere as well. So, you know, I think you're right about the running game, that if they can run the ball, that is going to be kind of the tell of this game. Because early on, New Orleans not able to run the ball. They did a little better with Kamara later on. But Tampa had already sent, you know, the message. You know, I think they had received the telegram on the New Orleans sideline that this was going to be a struggle. And I think that if the Packers are able to run the ball early, that I think is going to set an enormous tone. I just hope they're not going to dick around with this, you know, wide zone thing. I don't have the stats in front of me, but I think Jones carried 10 times for like 15 yards in the Tampa game. And for some reason they were trying to go with that wide zone.
Yeah.
And they might be better off. I think they're a better inside zone team, and I'd like to see them. Of course, Tampa probably knows that as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they attack that. But I think they're going to have to run the ball early in order to be able to set up their pass. I mean, that's how their offense is predicated. And if you shut down their run, you know, they're just not as effective when they have to be a pass-first team.
So I'm going to speak this into the universe. Just sometimes when I say it, then it doesn't happen because then I'm wrong. But I think this is a game where, you know, it's going to be a struggle. You know, it's going to be a tight game. And, you know, Lazard can drop a ball, you know, when you're up by 7, up by 10. MVS can drop a ball when you're, you know, same thing. But when it's 21-21 or 20-20, like in this game, into the fourth quarter, and it's and you're driving and you're at midfield and MVS drops a first down and now you're punting. Like, that is what I'm afraid of. I've been afraid of it all year. And like this game, like you can't say... I just think it's crazy. People say now maybe people will shut up about, you know, drafting Jordan Love in the first round. I think we won. We're in the NFC Championship and we had a much more talented team than we thought maybe going in. But I think it did also show that we have wide receivers that are deficient still, that will drop balls. I mean, St. Brown dropped one, Lazard. MVS had a very nice game. Was he?
He had four catches, I think.
Four catches, 8 targets. And he did have one that hit his hands that, look, it was a tough play, but hit him in the hands and didn't catch it. So
you need to make those plays in the NFL. Yeah.
Yeah. We had 4 drops, at least I can think of off the top of my head, or 3 drops from 3 of those receivers. And, you know, that's in the game that's coming up, or, you know, if we have to play Kansas City in the Super Bowl, I mean, every play is going to have to count. And I feel like it's been hidden some because we've just been so good. You know, we've been relying on our line and our running backs, our tight ends really good, and Devontae. Like, what they do is kind of gravy. Well, there's going to be a point where they need to step up, and I'm worried about that.
I guess I would agree more if I thought that a first-year wide receiver, well, let's say you got one that could play. I mean, that's never a given. But even if you got a guy that was pretty good, first-year wide receivers – you know, don't make a tremendous impact typically. I mean, those guys, even Sterling Sharp and James Lofton, the really great, well, Devontae Adams, you know, their first year is usually, you know, kind of dicey. They see the field, they make mistakes, then they get sit on the bench a while. It usually takes a guy at least a full year and sometimes a couple of years to really be impactful. So I don't necessarily know that that would have mattered much. No, with having Funchess, maybe, if he hadn't decided that, you know, he was going to opt out, I mean, a guy like that maybe would have helped him more. And I think that was probably what they were thinking, why they didn't draft a wide receiver, because they thought, well, you know, Funchess isn't a great player, but he's solid. He's good. He's a kind of a better version of what they had. They have a more experienced version of Lazard. And he probably would be more reliable, not a downfield threat, but a guy that you can get that 9-yard pass over the middle for a first down. I think losing him was probably bigger than not drafting a wide receiver early.
That might be. I mean, I think there are some receivers that were taken in the first and second round there.
Sure, yeah.
Very Jefferson good on other is teams.
That is that his name for the Vikings? I think it's Jefferson.
Jefferson, yeah. And there's Lamb for the Cowboys. Right, yeah.
There are a couple of guys. Yeah, that Lamb's a good player too. Yeah.
Yeah, the guy for Pittsburgh, I think he was available even maybe in the second round.
Is that Lynn Swan or
yeah, Lynn, yeah, Stallworth,
yeah.
Maybe?
It was Stallworth, Swan. I think John Stallworth, yeah, right, yeah.
But I guess it's maybe it's whatever you did in drafting, it's sort of shoring that position up. But they said, no, we want to go with Lazard and MVS and St. Brown. And maybe they thought Funchess, but even then they didn't go out and get another veteran guy to help out. So this is the guys that they're going to have. And look, Lazard made a big play. He had a huge game against the Saints earlier in the year. MVS had maybe one of the play of the games with getting a first down.
That was a great play. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that because, the guy's had his problems. Okay. That's not a newsflash. That was a great freaking play to not allow his knees to hit the ground before the ball was over the first down line. Props to 83, because we think of him as a downfield threat. That was just a gutty, you know, got to get 3 yards for the first down. Big, big props to 83 on that one.
It could be the MVS in 2021, 22, 23. It could be a guy we're like, man, we're great with MVS. But this game next week is not playing with MVS 2 years from now. It's playing with MVS right now. And I think that's why people are frustrated. And I don't like the writers and these, you know, Packer apologists that say it's got to be one or the other. Either you got to be upset with the draft or the fact they didn't get other receivers or now that they've won, you can't be mad anymore. I still think that that's true. I just am worried about how this game's going to happen going forward, because we're going to have to score. I think we're going to have to score into the 30s, and it's going to be against a defense that's pretty good. And if we win 32-18 against Tampa, then I think this team is really special. Now, Kansas City is pretty special too. I'm watching them play, and their combination of their three top guys on offense, plus a handful of other that are really good. I mean, it is going to be hard to take away points from Kansas City. But I think you have to put pressure on Mahomes. Like, I don't think you can play rush four and play zone. But I think if the Packers come up and have a game where they control most of the game against Tampa, that we see something really different than we saw in the year. I guess you have to believe more and more that this is a team of destiny. I think they're going to make it, but I am worried about this game as we sit here today.
Now here's a question from my cynical file. What do you think the chances are that Patrick Mahomes will not be cleared from concussion protocol this week?
Yeah.
I was talking about this with my son. It's like, you know that he's going to be just fine to play next week. Now, if this was like week four, you know, in the regular season, he's probably missing a week. But I have a feeling he's going to be playing in the AFC Championship game. I just kind of got this feeling.
Yeah, well, you are cynical. Is it concern you more? Like when you watch the play, I didn't see his head get hit. So I don't know if that means I'm less concerned for his safety or more. Like if you can get that means something else weird happened that you got to. Yeah. Did you see the play?
No, I didn't, because I was watching it actually on the condensed game version of that.
Yeah.
Our DVR recording goofed up. So we had to, you know, go to the NFL network and get the condensed game. And the copy wasn't as clean as, you know, watching it, you know, in the glory of high definition. So yeah. I don't really know exactly what happened, but I do know that sometimes concussions aren't impact in injuries, they're deceleration injuries. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you can get a concussion without dramatic, you know, impact to the head. I don't know enough about it. I'm not an expert in that kind of thing, but this is what I've read about it. So it does raise a question, though. You know, is he more susceptible because he got a, you know, maybe a non-traditional kind of injury that sustained the concussion? I really don't know, but I'd be willing to bet that he will be in the lineup next Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs.
I think ultimately you're right, but it was a weird play. Maybe I just don't remember it right, but it's kind of like, you know, when someone's running on their own and they go down with some kind of injury to their leg, that's always worse than it seems like then they get hit. But something snapped.
Yeah, the sniper injury that we like to talk about. Yeah, you know, and I'm not exactly sure. I was just really surprised. But it's all of a sudden, again, the condensed game. It's like, four? Who the hell is four? Is that?
Oh, that would be confusing. Yeah.
Is that Brett Favre? Did he decided he didn't want to cut his grass anymore, and now he's out there playing for? Oh, it's Chad Henne, of course.
It's the master plan. A bench Mahomes for Henne.
hey, I get now that guy. There's something about playing when you know you've got nothing to lose, and that dude sold out toward the end because, I give him a lot. He's at the end of the string. He's hung around the NFL for a long time, and he, you know, has this big moment. This is his, you know, kind of his. I'm going to date myself here, but his Earl Morrill moment. Playing for the Baltimore Colts when Johnny Unitas got hurt, you know, this is his chance. And, you know, to his credit, you know, he came up, allowed his team to win, major props to him. But I don't think Andy Reid wants to be entering that game with old number four, Chad Henne, under center. I think we're going to see 15 for Kansas City.
I think so, too. I think they're going to need him. I think Buffalo is playing really well. Defensively, and I mean they put a beating on Baltimore. That's going to be a very good game. Teams deserve to be here.
Buffalo is a terrific team. I like their quarterback. They got really good young talent. They got Micah Hyde, for God's sake, you know.
Yeah.
So it's that is a team. If they should somehow beat Kansas City, I don't think they will. Especially if, you know, Mahomes plays as expected. But they would be formidable, I think, in the Super Bowl. This is, I guess, in my mind, those four Super Bowl losses when Jim Kelly was their quarterback is, you know, I think of them kind of as losers. although that's not fair, I suppose. I think this is a different breed of Buffalo right now.
But I take my chances with Rodgers over Josh Allen, like just. Rodgers has been there. You know, he's just going to be smarter than everybody else. But against Brady, you can't make that argument, right? It's like the only quarterback that you can't just say, look, at the end of the day, I want Rodgers. Well, Brady is proven time and time again to be able to just pull it out.
Well, I guess, if, you know, yeah.
Why wouldn't you?
Exactly. You know, he I don't want to say he's immune from aging. I don't want to say it's a special chef. But, you know, he doesn't look appreciably worse at this point. Again, early in the season, I thought there were, you know, cracks in the veneer there. I really thought he, you know, was showing his age. But in retrospect, that probably was because he's on a new team, a new environment, all that stuff. And now he looks like the Tom Brady that I grew to hate in New Orleans. He looks like he's that same player. And probably also, you know, Gronk's his guy. I mean, Gronk is his Adams. He's forcing the ball to, you know, his 87 all the time. I mean, that's I think how these guys are. They have a guy they want, and they're going to try to get the ball to that guy. But it's working for them, and they've got a pretty good team around them, a good offensive line. I think the game is going to be decided not so much by, I think this past week, I thought the Packer defense would be would the game would really be on them. Could they, you know, keep Los Angeles from scoring? And I thought it'd be a lower scoring game than it was. I thought, you know, 23-20. This week coming up, I don't think it's going to be on the Packer defense here as much as the Packer offense. Can they find a way to move the ball and to score? You're thinking 30 points. I don't think they can score 30 points, but even in the high 20s, can they get in even the high 20s against this defense? And I don't know. Tampa Bay, their defense, Dave, speaks to my biases. They play defense the way I think it should be played.
Yeah, the way I'd like it to be played. Yeah. Exactly.
It's that physical, aggressive, swarming, you know, defense that just is in your freaking face. And I think that's the way I like to see defense played. That's the way they play. And I think Packers going to have a really hard time scoring enough points. And so, I don't know, maybe then it does become on the Packer defense to hold the Tampa Bay offense down. But, boy, I really think that the Packer offense has got to be able to score four touchdowns. And I don't know how that happens. Oh, maybe they get lucky. They get, you know, fumbles and turnovers. And Brady's used to playing in the cold. What about the rest of the team? Are they going to be, you know, up for the task? I know Brady will be. I know Gronk will be. I'm not so sure about the rest of those guys. This is a matchup that makes me nervous because it is the matchup. I think Tampa is strong and they play the kind of game that Green Bay doesn't. So it's not X's and O's in this case. It's not even Billy's and Joe's. It's the mindset of the Billy's and Joe's that makes me wonder if the Packers can hold up. I just don't think Tampa is a good matchup for Green Bay. And as much as I respect the Saints, I think the Saints were a better matchup than Tampa was. And so now the challenge is there. The challenge is there for the Packers. And
that's right.
I mean, that's what you want, right? You want to test your mettle, and they're going to have that opportunity.
You've got the MVP. You've got a defense that is starting to believe in themselves. That, you know, they have got to step up. They can't. You know, this is their moment. Unlike last year against San Francisco, where they walked into a gunfight with a knife in their hands.
Yeah,
you know, this is
terrible. Yeah.
Kind of up and down, I think you can match these two teams to be very equivalent. Other than I think Rodgers is better than Brady right now. I think I don't know much about their offensive line. You know how much. But and the other thing too that I think is misleading is we're judging Tampa. I've not watched them all year. I saw them play against Green Bay early and I thought they looked great. I saw them play against the Saints. I thought they looked great. But the Packers had flaws then and the Saints are a flawed team. And this wasn't the number one defense in the league for a reason. I mean, I know the Bears scored points on them. So maybe we're just overestimating how good this team is and underestimating how good the Packers are.
Well, it all comes down those to this match. I mean, maybe the Bears, again, who are not as good as the Packers, maybe they matched up better against Tampa. I mean, there are certain combinations, player on player mentality. You know, it may be that they also caught Tampa with certain personnel not available. I don't know what the lineups were on the field at that particular time. And also, too, you just get stretches. I think that was early in the season, as I recall. And you get stretches where certain teams are just playing well and other teams are not playing well for whatever reason, whether it be injury or maybe they are working out some kind of schematic themes, whatever it is. That's the thing. We've always talked about this in the NFL. What you see in September is really what you see in December. There is just as evolution, there's change, there's injury that takes over. You know, there are personnel changes. They acquire somebody, they lose somebody, or, you know, they come up with a different kind of schematic twist. You remember in 2014, the Packer defense, the first half of the year was not very good. At the bye week, they moved Clay Matthews inside.
Inside,
and,
right.
I mean, and their defense was great all of a sudden.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so I don't really know what happened when the Bears were playing Tampa. Maybe Tampa hadn't, you know, found, you know, the secret sauce at that point. All I know is that when I've seen them, they have been a terror, and they have had the way of playing that does not match up well against the Packers, and that's why I'm nervous about the game.
I am too. But I do the counter argument, the Packers are playing different as well. I think, you know, they're not a pass happy offense anymore. They are running the ball very effectively. That's setting up the pass. And they are, I mean, really, it's when you watch the offense at times, they are unstoppable. I don't care how good your defense is. You just cannot cover everyone. And everyone's playing at such a high level and believe in each other that they are just scoring at will. And I just wonder, it'll be the first quarter, I think, will tell a lot. Will Tampa punch them in the mouth and make, and all of a sudden now Rodgers is holding the ball a little bit longer? Or did we go down and score and we're like, you know, they're good, but it's like the LA defense was good, but they just can't stop us, you know? And let's hopefully give some credit to LaFleur. LaFleur is coming up with offensive schemes that is working. Some of the calls that touchdown to Adams, close to the goal line.
Oh, I love that.
Just beautiful. And those are things like years with McCarthy, you'd see other teams do. And like, why don't we, it would always be Rodgers, scramble, scramble, scramble. Great throw to Jordy in the corner. You know, that's a touch. This is like the scheme made it impossible to stop it. Not just the mind games between Rodgers and Nelson. Like that's, I'd rather have a good scheme and LaFleur is putting that together.
This reminds me of when I used to watch the Rams in 2018, I think it was, where you just saw them and thought, they're not playing the same game as everybody else. Yeah. They are unstoppable. Now, it's interesting because a lot of those same players are still, well, they didn't have Cooper Kupp this past week. But they are a shadow of what they were just a couple of years ago. And right now, the team that's like that is Green Bay. It's just, it's hard to imagine them, you know, being stopped. Now, of course, that Rams team was stopped in the Super Bowl. And it remains to be seen if, you know, this Packer, what seems like a juggernaut, it was the most yards gained against the number one defense in the playoffs since they began having those stats when the merger happened, I think. So it's been like 50 years. And they had almost 500 yards in offense against the number one ranked defense. Now, I know, Aaron Donald was limited, but still, they had 10 other guys on the field there, and the Packers made it look pretty easy, the running game in particular. They had three different guys that were running great, you know? I mean, it was consistent.
It's the kind of running, too. It's like the hand, it's so quick to the line of scrimmage, right? It's not a pitch back and try to find your lane. It's like, it's, the handoff to Jones is he's on the line of scrimmage so quickly that it feels like even just as you gather the tackle, like you just have to, you grab him with a 1 yard gain. He breaks a little bit for two and then he falls forward for four. And that's just do that over and over. That keeps him in third and short. So it's going to be turnovers. It's going to be penalties. Could be injury. You know, it's not just that our offense is so good we're going to overwhelm a team like I just think we were against Los Angeles. I think it's going to be the stuff you don't know, and you're going to need heroes, you know, more than just be that much better, right? Well, it's not talent.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of exciting. Well, obviously, playing in the sixth NFC championship game in the last, 15 years, 14 years, that's exciting by itself. And let's not lose sight of the fact, even if they lose, it's like we've always said on this podcast, do you know how special you have to be to lose 5 out of 6 NFC championships games in that, you know, to get there, it's sort of like losing the 4 Super Bowls that the Bills did. So let's not lose sight of that fact. But this is interesting to me because it is a, it's a different kind, it's not a schematic matchup so much as it is sort of a mindset matchup, which is really, really interesting to see how that plays out. I was corresponding with our friend Big Snake Man, who, by the way, he was driving between Crivets and Green Bay, and a deer hit him. He did not hit a deer. A deer jumped out, like you were saying in Town and Country, jumped out and ran to the side of his car. I mean,
what did he say to him? Must have made that deer mad. Yeah.
Well, he asked you to exchange insurance cards because you know, it wound up costing him. Anyway, we were going back and forth today with direct messages, and you know, right now we have proven, I think, or Matt LaFleur has proven that this guy can scheme with the best of them. He game plans beautifully. He calls what seems to be a very solid game. There are questions about what happens in the third quarter, and no one's really sure what goes on there. He's not Mike Holmgren when it comes to the second half spurt, at least not at this point in his career. But what we don't know about, what kind of a motivator of men is he? And that, this is an old school idea, you know, because, man, after all, it is football. It's an emotional thing. And how is he at, you know, getting guys not just in the classroom, schooled up on the chalkboard, or the telestrator, whatever. We know he can do that. We know that his team, when they sit down and they work those 16-hour days, you know, they have all kinds of schemes, and that laminated sheet they have is, you know, should be encased in gold because it's so good. We know that, okay? Well, what I don't know, at least, is he the kind of guy that can, you know, get a team emotionally prepared to play against an aggressive, angry, swarming, swaggering team? I don't know if that's in his bag of tricks, or maybe just not his bag of tricks at this point. I don't know that we've seen them kind of out emotional. I mean, there's out coaching and there's out scheming and there's out playing. And I don't know that we've seen the Packers necessarily outplay a lot of teams. I think we've seen them outsmart a lot of teams and outcoach teams, but have we really seen a lot of time where they've come up with that physical, emotional performance that sort of transcends what they do schematically? I don't know that we've seen that, and I don't know how good LaFleur is at that.
Yeah, we'll see. I think it's everything's going to have to click for this game. And they certainly will be motivated enough. That's where I there's some comfort I have, is that Tampa's got to come out to Lambeau. That's going to be in their heads. I'm sure they're going to be, we're not going to wear any. I'm going to go short sleeves and all that nonsense, yeah. Which is great because I think that's stupid, and let them be tough guys with wearing short sleeves. But they're going to come out of the tunnel. It'll be 6,500 fans. That'll be, you know, but I think there's some magic there that will maybe can propel this team to get that 10-0 lead like they had in Tampa, and maybe even better than that, 14-17-0, and then Tampa's playing from behind. I just hope that if we get that double score or two score lead, that on defense we force the issue. Let's go get this championship. Let's not wait for mistakes or penalties, or, you know, let's go get it. And I will be really interested to see. And I really hope that we're not sitting here next week saying that was Achilles' heel. It was the defense played so soft and Brady picked us apart. Let's hope that. And they got to know that. I saw Nagler is asking the coach, which I'm surprised he's in on these press conferences for one.
Nagler, for God's sake, of course he's in on the press.
I guess. Yeah. But he, I thought it was beautiful. He asked the question, like, paraphrasing. Now, are you frustrated that that defense plays really soft? And have you talked to your defensive coordinator about that? It's like, that's what nice. I would have asked if, you nice. Know, and only if I could write it in an anonymous question even. So, I mean, they can't be just like, what are you talking about? We play great defense, which I feel like sometimes coaches do, or at least it just feels that way. So they gotta, it's what do you have to lose here? I mean, you just can't let Brady sit back there clean and just pick apart, throw into Gronkowski 8 yards down the field over and over and over again. So it's going to be quite a battle. I'm going to be nervous all the way through. I would love it. Packers get the ball, they score. There's some kind of tip ball, and the Packers score and get a two-score lead early, so I can just like kind of breathe a sigh of relief a little bit. I just feel like it's going to be this 3 hours of grinding my stomach into such a tight knot. It's going to be awful.
I'm already squirming about this one. It's here's something that's been said, and this is the last comment I have before we get to the betting lines. I have heard it said, leading up to this game, and maybe even the game before that, the parallels between, I hate to say it, the 2014 team and this team, and we know how 2014 season ended, and it's the same problem. That team was suspect on special teams. Mm-hmm. What do we see again this week? You know, we saw the operation was botched, I guess, to extend the analogy. There's a terrible snap, you know. And it cost them an extra point, and it may have cost them, you know, some effectiveness by their kicker. because they had to run that ridiculous, you know, shovel pass to the kicker. Why didn't he just eat it?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And then, you know, and then poor Mason Crosby, who was already probably extremely high by that point, had to go in the locker room. And they must have shot him full of something. But, again, his tolerance is probably so high from all the other medications that he's on. That didn't even help him. And he was obviously, with that left shoulder injury, he was limited in what he's going to be able to do. And so I'm concerned. I said it last week. I remain concerned. Could this game come down to some kind of special teams situation where you've already put yourself behind the eight ball because you hurt your kicker last week? And I think that some of his problems he had kicking off, he was obviously in pain. Are you going to be able to kick that game-winning 48-yard field goal as time's expiring? Are you going to be able to do that? Are you going to be able to even snap the ball in a way that the Make-A-Wish kid can, you know, corral it and put it down? And then the guy with the bad shoulder, you know, when you kick, it's that motion. You're coming across your body. Your whole body is involved. It's like a golf swing. And their special teams have been so dicey all year. Is this game going to come down to some kind of special teams problem, you know, a Brandon Bostic kind of situation? Because they have had trouble in every way imaginable with their special, a blocked punt. We've seen two of those this year. Are we going to see another one at the worst freaking time, you know, where you're punting from your 20-yard line and J.K. Scott is set up at the 10 or 5-yard line, block, touchdown? You know, this is what there's a lot of things that concern me before that. But I just had this horrible feeling, more than an MVS drop, more than some kind of deficiency with the receivers, they're going to have some kind of colossal screw-up on special teams, that it seems every game they have some kind of foul-up on special teams. That's what really concerns me, is that they'll play well, and they'll play emotional, and they'll find a way to move the ball, but they'll goof up on special teams in some way, and that's going to cost them.
Well, I think we covered all the negatives.
Well, that's bad therapy. Therapy's about, you know, confronting your concerns and working through them, right?
Yeah. Well, and we're the doctors, so.
Well, exactly.
Right. I am Peg Laracci.
Exactly. Yeah. Could you turn your head and cough? Okay. Just kidding. All right. So with all those fears now expressed, and I feel cleansed. I hope the listeners feel cleansed too, that, and they're not playing with a sharp object at home. Let's talk about betting lines.
Oh, should we take a quick break and then we'll come back? Because let's recalibrate for a second. And it's just a good thing to take a few second break.
I'll do that. So when you say recalibrate, what you mean is your glass is empty.
Yeah, it is empty. I don't know if I need to get another, but it's the long recordings, you know, all that mess. But
I definitely need, I'm drinking iced tea today, so I have to go get fresh iced tea, which is an opportunity for everyone who's listening to this podcast to be like Jason Allen Wick, you know, to be like Chief Glassell, you know, and go to PayPal, PackersTherapy.yahoo.com, PayPal, chip off a couple of bucks for Chris and Dave. We are nervous wrecks. We're like Vince Lombardi. You think after all these years, I'd be nice and calm, but I'm a nervous wreck, you know? Yeah, that's who we are. We are nervous wrecks. We're a lot more calm, though, when we get money. A lot more calm. So chill us out. Help us out here. This allows us to have money that we can go down, to the local square and, you know, buy some pharmaceuticals from some of the kids selling them down there. That's how we use the dollars you give us. PayPal, it's PackersTherapy.yahoo.com. Chip off a couple of bucks for Chris and Dave. You can also go to our Patreon. I'm not even trying to spell Patreon. I don't know what it is exactly. I do know it brings a couple of bucks into my account, and that's all I really care about. So check that out as well. Packers Therapy, help out Chris and Dave. We're going to go fill our glasses. You do the same. We'll be back in just a sec. Chris and Dave back with more Packers Therapy, and I bet you feel pretty good right now that you've gone to PayPal, PackersTherapy.yahoo.com, and chipped off a couple of bucks. You feel good. We feel good. I just had an M&M cookie, so I feel good. Betting lines time, Dave. What do we got?
All right. So this week, it seems like everything's coming together. The winner this week is a special person. I can't wait to tell you. Let's go through the betting lines here against the Rams. Number one was Aaron Rodgers' quarterback rating. You set the line at 97. He had 108.1 against the number one defense in the league. Pretty good. Wouldn't you say?
I would say that betting line was pretty well set, too.
Yeah, that's not bad. They're about 10 off. That's probably not bad for a quarterback rating. Even better in the next one, I asked Devontae Adams' receiving yards. You set the line at 62, and it was 66.
Yeah, baby. Well, I kind of figured it would be tough. The way the matchup played up, I kind of figured he was going to have a hard time getting loose for big yards.
And I don't think you could say, given Adams' numbers, that it was a win on either side, you know, kind of Adams versus Ramsey. I think it was two good players, you know, both. Adams had one great move, you know, as a slant got open. But, you know, it wasn't like he tore it up either. So,
right. Exactly. Yep.
And why would you force the issue there? I mean, I guess that's something worth mentioning. I mean, that was something I was worried about early in the year. If you played a team that can take him off of 150 yards receiving down to 60, can you rely on the other people? And the answer in this game was yes.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was with the running backs.
Yep.
Number three, how many times will Aaron Rodgers get sacked? You set the line at 3.5.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
He was not sacked, which needs to happen.
I believe he was only knocked down once.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
We need to heap more praises on the offensive line. They played tremendous.
With a makeshift offensive line, too. I mean, we didn't mention this, but they brought in, you know, Valdir, which I didn't think that they could do that. And they did. And the guy promptly gets COVID, you know.
I know. It almost probably ruins. Do you think they said, no, he didn't talk. He wasn't in contact with anyone. That my skeptical radar goes way up. I think Valdir, you saw no one. That lunch you had with Rodgers will not be mentioned.
Exactly. And also the open mouth kissing that you were doing with Billy Turner. We're not going to mention that.
Not mention it. Yeah. Oh. And yeah. Anyway, number four, Cam Akers' total rushing yards. You set the line at 85 and he had 90. Very good line.
I tell you, I'm having a good week here.
You are. Number five, total interceptions for the Packers, and who will it be? You set the line at 0.5, and they did not have any interceptions. I don't recall, did they have anything close? I don't really think they did. Now, the Packers did before half. There was, two saved and 3 points, which I guess ultimately wouldn't have mattered. But I was surprised to see the aggressiveness on offense to throw it into the end zone.
Yeah, there were two balls I thought that could have been picked, but
they weren't. And
correct. Good. Yep.
Number six, total tackles by Snacks Harrison. You set the line at 1.5 and he had nothing.
He only played three. I checked the snaps. He only played three snaps. Played three snaps.
Isn't that interesting? Cause Colin Lancaster went down early and I thought, did I say Colin?
Let's just go with Lancaster.
Lancaster, whatever. He went down early, and I thought, this is Harrison's time. And it wasn't. They kind of stuck with Lowry. Maybe Gary got more snaps as a result of it, but it wasn't Snacks' game, which is, I thought, the reason he came to Green Bay was to play. But anyway.
But maybe, the matchup, it wasn't what they wanted, and maybe we'll see more of it this time around. I mean, you've got a weapon there, and you know you don't always have to deploy it to make it effective. So, I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt, but only three snaps. I mean, that really surprised me.
So, number seven, I asked you how many passes more than rushing plays would there be? You set the line at +7 more passes than carries, and they had exactly
even. It was even. Yeah.
Now, three kneel downs at the end, right? Or one, well, two, or three kneel downs.
Three, I think. Yeah, but
I still think the other. Yep, which is a good formula for them. 7.5 first play from scrimmage. You said play action MVS down the field. And I had run to Jones, and it was a carry by Aaron Jones, so I got that one.
Yeah.
7.3 force. Will they show Matt LaFleur and Sean McVay on camera at the same time? They definitely did.
Yeah.
In a graphic. Well, you know, they went back a ways, right? It was more than just the Rams. They were also on the same staff as was it Andy Reid?
They were in Washington together with Washington. Shanahan.
That's it.
And then in Los Angeles together. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the Holmgren thing. I mean, these guys coach together different spots along the way, and then when they get a job, they hire them. And I mean, that's kind of how the NFL works.
Yeah, yeah. And 7-7 Ace will they target MVS on a 40-plus throw?
It was that got targeted on the long throws, which I did not see coming because I've never thought of him as a guy that gets downfield. I thought of him more as a over the middle guy, but he was the guy that went twice. Lazard. They went
twice. This was the betting line was MVS. Will they target MVS?
Right. Oh yeah. Right.
And Mike says no, but they did have one that Rodgers had a bad throw. I guess that would be considered. I don't know if it was 40 yards. Maybe that was too long of a.
That's what I wasn't sure. But they did target him once, but maybe it wasn't 40 yards.
Yeah. So we'll take a no.
But Mike's the man. You know, whatever Mike says goes. I mean, if Mike says it was 70 degrees and sunny for that game, it was 70 degrees.
That's what it was, right? Yeah. And it's not subject to review. It is
exactly right.
The play stands. It's a no.
That's right. Exactly.
total score was the tiebreaker. I said 35. You said 23. The winner this week is me, Chris.
I knew you. You said it was somebody special.
It was me. I got 8 correct. Jeremy Babeau also got 8 correct, but he only put 27 total points. I had 35.
It's been a long time since you won. It's been a really long time.
Yeah, it wasn't this year. And I got a call from Dr. Klaus yesterday. Asking for Mike, and if Mike can't do it, I might be able to, maybe able to do this. But he was curious to see who would be the winner for the year, like who had got the most points overall. And wondered if maybe I would, because I'm the only one that I know for sure played every week. so it could be the winner.
Something to be said for consistency. Yeah, okay.
That's right. Yeah. Half the battle is showing up.
That's what they say. That's right. I kind of built a career on showing up. So yeah.
All right, so I won this week. I'm on a roll. This is all coming together. Packers winning. I'm winning. It's all great. The virus is getting better. Trump's on his way. Let's talk about the betting lines against the Buccaneers. You ready for this one?
I guess so. I guess I'm gonna have to live up to it. Okay.
All right, so number one, Aaron Rodgers quarterback rating.
Man. Yeah. I can't remember what he had in Tampa last time, but it wasn't good. It was one of his, he had 2 interceptions. One of them was a pick 6. So that it could have been very good. I think he'll be better this time. But I think he's going to struggle. I really do. I'm going to put it at 90.
90. All right. I'll take the over. I think they're just going to play better than we expect. Even though I'm nervous about lots of things, I'm just going to believe in this team. So I'm going to believe in Rodgers. That smile doesn't come out of nowhere. I think he knows better. I'm gonna say over. He's gonna have a great game. Number two, Tom Brady's quarterback rating.
Yeah. You know, I early when we did this before with Tampa, I was kind of down on this guy. I thought Father Time had caught up and it was gonna be, you know, like all these great quarterbacks who go someplace else late in their career. It's always an embarrassment. Yeah. And I thought he was going to be the same thing, but it doesn't appear to be the case for this guy.
No, it sure doesn't.
And what I saw yesterday, this is a guy that can still play. I don't know what his quarterback rating was yesterday, but I don't have any reason to believe it wouldn't be solid. He doesn't make a lot of dumb mistakes. He's got some good targets. I'm gonna put Tom Brady at. I'm gonna put Tom Brady at 105.
So you're gonna, wow, you. 15 more points than Rodgers.
Yes, absolutely.
I'll take the under.
The last time these guys faced off, you know, come on.
That's what happened. Yep. Tom Brady had a quarterback rating of 92.9 yesterday. So
oh, really?
I'm going to take.
Oh, mm-hmm. oh, I thought he was better than that. Okay. Well, still, I've said it now. I've said 105. I'm going to stick with it.
All right. Number three, total yards receiving. Well, let's just say total yards for Davante Adams.
Yeah. So in other words, you know, you're thinking maybe the jet sweep, which we have seen this year, but haven't seen lately. That would That's an interesting idea. Yeah, maybe they do that. Adams, he played against him last time because Rodgers tried to force the ball to him, which is how he got the interceptions. But they shut him down pretty well. They shut him down pretty well. Let me put his yardage. I gave him 62 this past week. I'm gonna be a little more aggressive, but not much. I'm gonna go 72 this week.
All right, I'm gonna take the over. I feel like this is a game that there is no shutdown corner for Tampa. I think they have some good corners.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That guy with the hyphenated name is good.
Yeah. I there's a Winfield Jr. in there, and I think they're good. Think that
his dad played for the Vikings, right? Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's his son, right? It's not
right.
The.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, but I'm saying that the player's dad played with the Vikings.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. But I think we're going to get a big game out of Devontae, so I'm going to say over on that one.
Well, you are the champion, Dave. So
I
know,
am.
Whatever.
Right.
Yeah, you know, people should listen to you.
That's right. Yeah, I know what I'm doing here. It takes a year, but I eventually come around. number four, total tackles for Devon White and Levante David? Those two guys are fast.
Yeah,
both of them are impressive.
He's 54, right? There's 54 and 45, I think, are the two middle guys. And they're, you know, on a lot of teams, 54 would be the man, but not on that team. Yeah, they're going to have a shitload of tackles. I mean, that's about the only technical term I can come up with.
Do you want to know what they had this week?
Well, yeah, tell me. I have was it like 19 between the
18.
Two of them? It's 18. All right. Yep. And so I'm going to set the line at, I'm going to set the line at 16.5.
16.5. All right. I'm going to take the under. I think the Packers are going to have to get away from the run game a little bit more. So there's going to be a little bit more tackles from the safeties. I'll take the under on that one. Regarding sacks, if I take Green Bay's number of sacks, how many times Brady is sacked versus minus the number of times that Rodgers is sacked? What is that number?
Okay, so Brady's first in this equation.
Yep.
Okay. Brady is statuesque, and I think he's vulnerable to that. And the Packer pass rush, I think I mentioned it. I hope I did. I'm liking what I'm seeing from Kenny Clark and from Rashawn Gary, two first-round draft choices. They work really well. They each had a sack and a half this past game. I could see three sacks on Brady, but I could see. I'm gonna say it's null. I'm gonna say zero. Each guy have three sacks.
Okay, I'll take the over. I think the Packers get sack Brady more than Rodgers. Yeah, I think you're right, because I think Rodgers can escape pressure and just get the ball out quick. So
yep.
I'll take the over on that one. Number six, how many wide receiver drops will there be for Green Bay? Green Bay wide receiver drops.
Oh, Mike is going to hate you because he's the guy that's got to adjudicate this.
That's right.
Okay. You know, there's going to be some. And they all season long. And it's not just been MVS. I mean, Devontae's dropped a fair number of balls this year.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say they're going to have. I'm setting a line, correct? I'm not just saying.
Yep.
The, okay.
Yep.
I'm going to set the line at 3.5.
3.5. All right. I am going to say the under. I think you're going to get, although, you know, it'll be cold and maybe snowing, so that probably doesn't help either. But I have this feeling that they're just going to come together and have a great game. So. I am fearful. I think they can concentrate enough and really not disappoint Rodgers and make this thing a win. I'm going to take the under.
Have you seen the forecast, by the way?
I think I've just saw lower 20s and snow. Is that still?
Yeah. That is still the forecast. There is a 50. Now this tells you nothing, but a 50% chance of a snowstorm starting on Saturday night and going through the day Sunday. Now, you remember, I think you do, the Snow Bowl game against Tampa Bay when Steve Young was their quarterback.
Yeah.
You're old enough to remember that, right? Yeah. And I think there was a foot of snow that day. Lynn Dickey was the quarterback. I want to say the Packers won like 21-0. James Lofton, I think, had a big day. But I know that it was the worst snow game that I ever saw. And I do think it was like 10 or 12 inches of snow that day. They're talking, though, about the, you know, an even chance. Oh, are you barking back there?
Yeah, it's this way happens. We do it during the day. <Can't>. Dogs are out. Yep.
Yeah, you should let sleeping dogs lie.
Let that dogs out.
But... Yeah. So, yeah, it's a low to mid-20s for the high. And chance of snow, but again, there, you know, it's too soon to say, but there is a chance of a snowstorm, which could make all of these these betting lines moot.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, if there is a, if this is a snow game, I mean, this is like, this is ridiculous. It's just such a factor. They're having to dust off the lines so you can see where they are on the field, that whole thing. Do you think that helps the Packers? Or, I mean, it can't help Tampa other than, you know, Brady is used to that, but is that a big advantage for the Packers, or is it a push, do you think, at the end of the day?
I think against most teams, it's a big advantage, but I can still see Brady playing in that snowplow game, you know, the Charles Woodson thing, the tuck rule. Yeah. I can still see all that stuff. And the guy played his college ball at Michigan, too. So I think against most teams, it's an advantage. Against this team, not so much.
Yeah, we'll see. Number seven, how many turnovers will Green Bay generate?
Ah, so the defense, or special teams.
Right.
I am setting a line. I'm not guessing a raw number, correct?
You're setting a line.
All right. I'm going to set that. You know, they're not a terribly aggressive team. They don't get a lot of turnovers, but, you know, it's going to be cold. You know, shit happens. Can they get two? I'm okay. Okay. I'm going to set it at 1.5 because I think the way they're going to stay in this game is by getting some turnovers. I think it's going to be hard fought. I think it's going to be ugly. But I'd like to believe they're not going to get blown out. And if they're going to do that, they're going to have to get a couple of turnovers, maybe one on special teams and one like on a, you know, on a botched exchange to the halfback or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Okay.
Well, I'll take the under. I think they get one. I think it'll be a big one. But I think it's just, I don't think it's going to be two. So I'll take the under on the number of turnovers. 7.5, will there be a special teams miscue, yes or no?
Yes.
Well, yes, I'll say no. Will at any point during the broadcast, will they have a picture of an actual goat?
Ugh, they did that. Was it last time they played? Or maybe it was when Brady was still in New England, but they had an embarrassing series of goat things. This is a playoff game. I'm going to say, so this is an actual goat. This is like a
not just the word goat. I think it could be a graphic. It could be.
Oh, so it could be a drawing of a goat.
Yeah. I mean, yes, it could be a drawing. When I say a real goat, it just can't just say the word goat. You have to see a picture of some sort. Or some kind of visual representation of a goat.
As you know, Dave, I'm the eternal optimist. I like to think people learn from their mistakes and get better. So I'm going to say no, that they've learned from the embarrassment of when they did that. I think they had actual video of goats in a pen or something like that. It was ridiculous. So I'm going to say no, because this is my statement of my belief in humanity.
I think it's misguided. I think the temptation to not put a goat on the screen is too great. You've got Rodgers and Brady. I think you're going to see goat. You might hear a goat. You might see the bleeding of a goat. I think you're going to definitely see the goat. Yeah. And then 7-7-8, will the Packers win? Yes or no?
No.
I'll say yes. And then total.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask you what you think the score is, but I think you're going to, right now, I think we're going to get to that.
Total tiebreaker, total Packer points.
Okay, total Packer points. Again, I think they need to score in the upper 20s to win. I don't think they're going to win, so I'm going to go with what I did this past week. I'm going with 23.
And I'm going to go with 35.
Oh, damn. If they score 35,
they
I would be shocked if they don't win.
Yeah, I think
it would be a colossal failure if they didn't.
I think there is a chance that they the emotion gets them up early, the cold gets Tampa down, and then we can be off to the race a little bit. I think this can be a game that we win, but the first series will really be the tell. I hope the Packers, that they got that they win the flip, that they get the ball first. I just feel like you want to put pressure on early. It did work this time around. They got the Rams free and out and then got the ball to start the second half. I just don't know if that's the right way to play with Tampa. Like, we get up first, let's go. But we'll see. But I think at the end of the day, the Packers will win. Maybe not 35 points. I'm going to stick with it, but I think the Packers are going to win. So if you'd like to play the betting lines with us, kick me out of off the throne, out of the hotel room at the Packers Therapy Hotel and Casino. I'm going to be enjoying it. This is going to be a great week for me.
You'll be watching in the sports book, right? Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tear that place down. I'm going to enjoy myself at the casino this week. But you can win next week. Then you get 2 weeks before the Super Bowl. So this is a chance to win 2 weeks instead of one. You can send your picks to Mike Miller, and his email address is mintnomiller@gmail.com. Are you ready to sing it now with some pep here?
Yep.
All right. It is, if you want to play, another way of knowing what Mike's email is, it is
MikeNOMILR. See, pep, Dave, pep. This is not O come Emmanuel here. We're talking pep, you know?
Rejoice.
See, that to me has always never made any sense. It's rejoice like someone died. This is,
yeah, that is a Advent.
It is summer. Yeah, MIDNOMILLER@gmail.com. Yeah, that's how we do that here. Yeah, Mike Miller. He's the man's an American hero. Let's face it. You know,
he is. Yeah. And so is Adrian. We should mention,
yes,
Adrian,
please.
And Nick, of course, too. But Adrian completed our logo.
And
this
it's
week.
Up on Twitter, right? Yeah.
Got it on Twitter. If you look that us up, is it Packers Therapy?
Yes.
At Packers Therapy?
At Packers Therapy, yep.
Chris and Dave also, but you can see our new logo, and I love it. It's, I don't know if we described it last week, but it is, the mic is the shape of a pill, and the three dots on the pill stand for the 13 championships for Green Bay, which means we might have to update that logo in a few weeks.
That's the first thing I was thinking about. But I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to jinx it. You know, I mean,
oh, well, there I go.
we're getting so tantalizingly close.
Yeah.
And while I think they have an enormous hurdle this week, you get beyond that hurdle and then it's like, you know, this might actually happen. You know, so I'm trying not to get too far out ahead. But yeah, the new logo, microphone looks like a pill, because Chris and Dave are a pill, you might say. And there are 13 dots at present, one each one of the championships. Adrian, thank you very much. That looks terrific. By the way, Adrian is a professional designer, and he has his own design company for people that maybe are interested in some design services. I'm not getting paid by Adrian to say this, but I think is it Soiree Design, SOIREdesign.com. Ask for him by name. Then maybe he'll help you out if you've got a company or a business or something you're working. You need some graphic design work. Adrian can probably help you out with that. So, Adrian, thank you so much for putting together this logo. We're making good use of it. We very much appreciate it. I got to ask you, Dave, speaking of creative enterprises, did you listen to the Lil Wayne rap?
I did the
new one. Okay. So I need to have your critique as we're getting to the pop culture segment. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I can't say I'm a Lil Wayne fan. Or maybe I am. I'm just not as familiar with his body of work.
His, but, that overture. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say my first go for music is like 80s music.
Yeah, Living on a Prayer, baby.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, Lil Wayne is not something I'm as familiar with, but I like it. I like it. I think it's it pumped me up. I listened to it. It's funny. Did he have a line there about Paul Horning and betting? It was like
Well,
put
that,
Paul Hornung down for five, but it was like his number was five. But was he really saying he's like, yeah, he's,
you know,
down for five?
I think it was, and I get it. I give him props because that's Packer history. You know, I mean, that's kind of a deep dive. You've got to know the team history that Paul Hornung missed the 1963 season because he was suspended along with Alex Karras for gambling. Didn't stop Hornung from being in the Hall of Fame, but still. So props to him. I can't get beyond, and it was from the other rap to the other thing, you know, green and yellow. I mean,
yeah,
I know yellow wraps. I mean, it rhymes with a lot of stuff, and it's gold. I know it appears to many people to be yellow. It's not. It's gold. It's gold, people. Wayne. So,
the gold zone.
You know,
yeah.
We've got to work that out. But that's my only real complaint with it. We were sent during the time we've been recording this podcast. We were sent a tweet by our buddy Pete. Who I believe it's not the Pete who's destabilizing the government in Barbados.
Who invited us to come down, by the way?
Exactly right. You know,
I hope he meant it.
We would probably have to, you know, he'd probably sneak us in on some kind of shipping container
submarine
thing. Yeah, yeah, because you know that's the kind of work he does. This is agricultural attaché in quotation marks. No, but this was Pete McClellan, who I think was a Civil War general. I think, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, he sent us a link to some dude, and again, I haven't been able to listen to it because I've been busy doing a podcast. Some guy on TikTok looks like an Asian American, wearing his Packer gear, and I'm going to listen to when it's done because a guy named Justin Martin said, "I just saw this gem on TikTok. It's catchy as hell." And so we have this dude here with some vintage Packer gear from, like, it's got to be from the 80s in the way the way this stuff is. And dude is kind of rapping, "We pay respect to Lombardi. Oh, go you Packers, go." It looks so bad, it's probably good. So I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, Pete, for sending that to us. We will check that out when this podcast is done. And thanks to everyone else who's been active with us this week on Twitter. It's at Pack Therapy Dave, and the Packers Therapy account's the one that I spend most of my time on. So we got that. Let's do a quick pop culture and let you get on to your activities on ML King Day, Dave. So what do you got for pop culture?
I'll just I have a few, but I'll just mention one. I watched the movie Tenet this weekend. And I think we're going into Tenet. I mean, I'm a big Christopher Nolan fan. I like just about everything he's done. Except I noticed there's an irritating trend with his movies that are becoming more and more obtuse and harder to understand. They all have something to do with time and something strange. And I heard that Tenet 1 was hard to understand the dialogue, but I could watch with subtitles, so I thought that's good. And I also heard that the story is very confusing. And I saw the movie, and it looks beautiful. It's cool as all get out. I did about an hour in say, "I'm going to stop trying to figure this out. I'm just going to watch the fun colors flying across my screen." And then it took a couple of YouTube channels to explain to me what I just saw. And I think I now understand a little bit of what's going on. I almost think watching it now, if someone were to watch it, I would almost feel kind of like going to a musical. You'll enjoy it more if you read the story, a summary first, and then go see the musical. It's kind of what this is, I would say, because this, I never really kind of figured out what the main concept was and how it all pulled together of moving time forward and then backward and then forward and then backward. So I did like the movie. It's clearly Christopher Nolan cool joint, as you, if you will. But it's confusing. It's confusing, and it's confusing. And I liked it all at the same time. But I don't know if I'd ever recommend it, because it's just like I don't want to have to try to figure it out and write a doctorate, get a doctorate degree to be able to figure it out. But I did enjoy it a lot. I don't know. Have you seen it, or you have any interest in seeing such a thing?
No, I am not a big Christopher Nolan guy at all. It's not that I don't like, you know, films you have to think about and process. In fact, I kind of like those. But there's a place where it's you know, the kind of the trippy mind bending time space things aren't as cool to me as something like
Annie Hall.
Well, I'm thinking the Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. That,
yeah.
Thing, or whatever.
Inception. That, yeah. Have you not seen? Inception.
I've actually seen Inception. Didn't care for it. So it's not my kind. It's not my kind of thing. But I do like movies that, you know, make you think, and you have to pay attention. You have to process things. But there's a limit to that stuff. But I think your strategy's right, though. When you get to a point, you're not getting it. Just sort of let it wash over you. Like the first time I saw 2001, you know, I mean, you just kind of let that go, and then you watch it again and again and again, and you uncover more layers of it. It's actually fun to do it that way.
Well, I think you could probably, I didn't do this, but you could even probably find something, an article that says, what should I understand before I see Tenet? Right. Like you could, the concept of the main, you know, thing that's going on with time is be really helpful to not have to kind of figure it out through the dialogue, because it's almost unfair. It's almost like I can make a movie that's really complex too by just not explaining anything to you.
Yeah,
like that's
right.
Not exactly. That hard.
Yeah.
And that's lazy. But I think once after, if you want to do such a thing, is if on a second or third viewing, it can be pretty satisfying because it's very cool. Although I will say that one of the things that I think influences my love for his movies is the Hans Zimmer score. And this does not have a Hans Zimmer score. The Inception score, Batman was just awesome. I mean, Hans Zimmer is awesome. And this was somebody else who was, I think, very good, but it's, you know, Hans Zimmer is a class on his own.
Did you say you had a second one?
No, for time, I'll bring it up next week.
All right. Well, I'm gonna do one that I hadn't intended to do, but in our pre-podcast chat, a subject came up and I referenced a movie that I think is worth mentioning. It's an old one, I think in 1974. It's one of the early Clint Eastwood movies, and it's when he was doing westerns. He kind of, you know, made his bones, so to speak, doing those westerns. But I am all about High Plains Drifter. I love High Plains Drifter. I recommend it. There is a mystery involved with this. You know, he is the man with no name, and you do have to piece things together during the movie. You got to think a little bit. He does play his caricature, you know, Western guy, the squinty-eyed, you know, stranger appearing from nowhere, coming in. Does he terrorize the town? Does he save the town? That's up to the viewer, I suppose. It becomes clear why the things at the end. It becomes clear why things played out the way they did. It's a fun watch. I don't know if it's great cinema, but I've always found it very satisfying, very enjoyable. Before in the days before Clint Eastwood was speaking to an empty chair, he was doing what I thought were some really enjoyable, movies. The Dirty Harry films, I know, Vigilante Justice, you know, not cool probably, but those movies were very satisfying, you know? I mean, they're very, and they had these great lines, you know, man's got to know his limitations and those kind of things that just, you know, made you kind of, you know, you were satisfied because the bad guy, you know, got what was coming to him, but also in a way that had some style, you know?
Yeah.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Did he fire 5 shots or 6 shots? Yeah, those are classic lines, and we can argue the politics and the propriety of that, but they were satisfying, and High Plains Drifter is satisfying as well. I recommend that as my pop culture for the week. Before we ring off here, I do want to recognize, because I haven't read it yet, but it came in this morning, we got an email from Tom in Germany, and with a link to an article about Big Bob Tunyon from the Players Tribune. It's a blog that I've read from time to time, and I am going to read that. I'm sure Dave will too. So thank you for sending us.
It's awesome. We probably should have given it more time. It's kind of a love letter of a Packer to the organization and fans. It's remarkable, and it's really cool to read. And that's another reason you think this is a special season. You've got the players themselves reflecting on what a special season this is already. So it's, if you haven't read this yet, find Robert Tunyon's letter to the fans or a letter to the organization?
It's called Green Bay, comma, I wrote this for you. And it's Robert Tonyan, and it's in the Players Tribune. And Tom in Germany, thanks for letting me know about it, letting us know about it. I have not read it yet, but I'm going to. It looks, just looking at the first couple of paragraphs, it looks like a terrific read for Packer fans getting ready for the game against Tampa Bay for the NFC Championship to decide who will go to the Super Bowl. Packers in it now for the sixth time since 2007. That would be, is that 14 seasons over 13? Did I get that right? 14 seasons? So almost half of the NFC Championship games during that time period have featured the Green Bay Packers.
That doesn't seem right to me.
It does not seem right to me. It seems like
how many you said there are six?
Yeah, this is their sixth.
Just list them real quick? So it's Tampa, Seattle, Atlanta, San Francisco twice. And who am I missing?
It was New York Giants 2007.
New York Giants.
Chicago Bears, because they played the Bears.
Oh, right. That's right.
And won. Then it was Seattle, San Francisco, Atlanta.
And then Tampa.
And then Tampa. So six, yeah. Those are the six.
I thought San Francisco was twice, but we just got knocked out.
No, it was San Francisco once in the NFC Championship. It was Chicago's the one you missed because they won that one. So naturally, we forget that one. I don't think B.J. Raji is going to forget that one.
Well, I was thinking of the last three: Seattle, Atlanta, San Fran. None of those did I have. I guess
those
I was
were all painful in different ways.
Yeah, they're all painful, but I had low expectations. The Chicago and the New York game, I had high expectations. They won one and lost the other. But the other, this is what a little bit different. I really did not think they had a prayer against San Fran or Atlanta. And then Seattle is another just thorn in your side team. I guess it would be probably most similar to Seattle in terms of how I feel going into it. Which, I please don't give me another 2014. I cannot handle a 2014 game. So please, please, please. Packers win this game.
I'm okay with the embarrassment against Atlanta. I'm okay with the embarrassment against San Francisco. I will never abide the losses to New York and Seattle. Those are two games they should have won, full stop. Those are the ones that bug me to this day. But they were just outclassed by San Francisco and Atlanta. It remains to be seen what comes up this week. You're expecting a win. Packers score 35. I think that the Tampa defense is going to be too much for the Packers offense. Packers will score 23 and lose. But I think it's worth watching. I think I'm going to make some time on Sunday. It's going to be a 2:00 start, Lambeau Field time. So I think I'll make some time in my Sunday schedule for that. Dave, are you going to find time for the game?
I think so. I have to clear out my sock drawer, but I will. I'll probably make some time in between there and some other activities. I'll watch it. I'll say yes. I'll watch it.
All right then. So it's a date. Dave and I are going to watch. Dave is going to watch down by the arch, and I'm going to watch here in the middle of nowhere in Potato Country and Plover. Klaus will be watching probably with Knut and his buddies in their secluded chalet in Norway, and Tom will be watching in Germany, and iTruck's going to be watching in Gay Perry, and I think everyone's going to be looking to see whether or not the Packers will beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in just under a week. The lead-up to it's going to be fun. I'll be paying attention, so will Dave, and we will be back a week hence, win, lose, or otherwise, to talk to you again to see how it all comes out. But until that time, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.